Welcome to Just Ask, the podcast of the Hive Collective, a digital health platform built to empower women to make educated and informed decisions about their health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heather Quayle, a leading women's and gender-related nurse practitioner. We provide answers to the questions you may not know how to ask by interviewing experts in nursing, medicine, sexual health, and wellness. We started in 2020 with myself and colleague Dr. Tara Thompson, pharmacist, and now welcome our co-host and leading women's health expert and nurse practitioner, Jackie Piasta. This is a safe space where no question is off limits, and we advocate and encourage listeners to just ask their most intimate questions and to break down the barriers of embarrassment and taboo.
I'm Jackie Piasta, your other co-host and fellow Queen Bee of the Hive. Each month, we bring on a new guest that is an expert and healthcare innovator in their respective field. As the healthcare landscape rapidly evolves, we are excited to be on the cutting edge and have decided to evolve the podcast into the Hive Collective, a space that seeks to equip you to better navigate your health journey. To learn more about our new and exciting platform, check out our mission, vision, values, and initiatives as we discuss our rebrand in Season 4, Episode 1. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We're excited you're here and hope you enjoy our show.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome back to the Just Ask podcast. My name is Tara Thompson. I am a pharmacist here with my colleague, Heather Quayle, a women's health nurse practitioner. And we have such an amazing guest today for you here in Season 3. We're so excited to be back on the air with you guys. And we think today's talk is going to be super, super fantastic. It's all about the thyroid. So I know that's a problem that a lot of us struggle with, especially as women, but also men too. Everyone has a thyroid, so everyone can have issues with it. So, and that does play into your sexuality and your sexual health a little bit. So we're going to hear a lot about that today. Without any further ado, I want to introduce our guest. This is Jackie Piasta. She is a Vanderbilt-trained women's and gender health-related nurse practitioner who has been serving women for over 15 years. She currently owns Monarch Health, a holistic telehealth company focused on helping women thrive through midlife and menopause so they can feel confident and empowered as they navigate their wellness journey. Through her time in the medical field, Jackie has seen gaps in the healthcare system, particularly when it comes to women's health. She believes that women deserve to be seen and heard when voicing their health concerns, and she's on a mission to not only hold that space, but also to lead the healthcare system better than she found it. One of the biggest concerns she faced with her patients over the years was their complaints regarding their thyroid, whether it be a concern of a possible thyroid issue contributing to their symptoms, or feeling that their current care was suboptimal. Jackie has met thousands and thousands of women struggling with traditional thyroid concerns and feeling like something was missing in their care. This, combined with an overall desire to improve people's overall health, led Jackie to take a deeper dive into hormones and expand her knowledge through the Academy for Innovative and Preventative Medicine and their bioidentical hormone certification. Here, she learned evidence-based strategies to address a wide range of hormonal concerns, thyroid included, and she is here to share her knowledge with us today. So welcome, welcome, Jackie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Jackie is a dear friend, a colleague of mine. I'm thrilled to have you on here, and she is launching Tara and I back into our Season 3. So welcome to Season 3, Episode 1, and no better place to have you. So let's dive right in. We've done nothing around thyroid, so I'm so excited to talk about this with you. I kind of want you to give our listeners kind of a brief overview, like what is the thyroid? What does it do? How is it managed? And kind of dive into that. And then we'll talk a little bit about like how endocrinology looks at things, and then maybe how we look at things a little bit different in a holistic, functional sexual medicine space.
Sure, sure. Well, full disclosure too, I never entered into wanting to take care of the thyroid, but just found that the more and more time I spent, and my population is largely mostly women, but the more and more time I spent with women, it always just kind of boiled back to the thyroid and then being curious and just inquisitive of, are you sure there's not something wrong with my thyroid? Or are you sure there isn't something else we can do if they already had a pre-existing diagnosis? So it really wasn't out of my own desires. It was really just kind of prodding and poking from patients, just saying, look, there has to be something more here. But so generally speaking, the thyroid is a gland, a hormone producing a gland that sits in our neck. You can actually feel it if you kind of touch on your neck there. It's shaped in the shape of a butterfly, or some people refer to it as a shield. And it produces hormones. It actually produces four hormones, but the most common that we refer to are T4 and T3. T4 being an inactive form of thyroid hormone, and T3 being the active form of thyroid hormone. And the key functions of the thyroid really is to help and control your metabolic rate, or the metabolism of your body. So there are functions in controlling our heart rate, controlling our muscle and digestive function, cellular turnover, brain health, bone maintenance, and just generalized metabolism. A lot of women will be curious when it comes, a lot of us have weight concerns. So that tends to be where the conversation usually comes up first, is with weight. But thyroid really has much broader mechanisms in the body.
So I, of course, I'm kind of like you. I didn't want to get into thyroid, and actually I didn't even really want to delve into weight loss. I dug my feet in for 22 years and I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. And then once you start realizing that you get into this sexual health and menopause space, like, these women so need help in both areas, and they're often dismissed. So one of the biggest concerns that I get is, hey, my doc only would check my TSH. So can we kind of dive into a little bit around, you've kind of told us like what the thyroid does, but most people only are going to get a TSH level. So how do we help our listeners maybe advocate more for themselves? And then we can kind of dive into this functional piece, because that's mostly what I see.
So I think the reasoning behind why the TSH is the primary hormone that is checked, and TSH stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. It's released from the pituitary gland in the brain, and its function is really to egg on, or kind of mother hen, the thyroid into producing its own hormones. And if the thyroid is producing adequate amounts of T4 and also T3, there will be a feedback loop. So a signal that goes from the thyroid back to the brain to tell it that, okay, we're good. We've made enough of our own hormones. We no longer need any more prodding from the brain to tell us to produce more. And so therefore we have enough and we're good to go. And so that's kind of where this notion of, well, we only need to really check the TSH, because it is telling us that there's either not enough functionality in the thyroid or too much functionality in the thyroid. And that really should be the complete picture. But what we find through really just listening to our patients is that that may not be the whole scope of the problem. And if you delve deeper, and this is kind of where functional medicine has really taken off in this space, but if you delve a little bit deeper, we find that there's a lot of individual variability in how individuals process thyroid hormones. And that goes into concepts that a lot of us are not comfortable delving into, that being genetic variations, genetic SNPs in how we process and metabolize medications, and then also further down into gut health, because a lot of the gut permeability plays a role in the function of our hormones. And most of us that are allopathically trained were not trained to really explore this path at all. We've been, trained to look at the lab ranges. That's what it is. Is this actually full on disease process and disease management? And we really were not trained and taught to go deeper into the finesse of things, into really the art. But as far as labs are concerned, when I think that those of us that really do delve a little bit further in to thyroid, and I think more endocrinologists are becoming more open to this, mainly because they're getting bombarded with the requests of it. And there's those of us like me out there saying, oh, you need this and you need that. But I think if you want a comprehensive thyroid assessment, it starts with getting a broader thyroid function panel. And that's looking at your TSH, your free T4, your free T3, so your inactive and your active thyroid. And then your reverse T3 is also very important because that tells us if your thyroid is actually converting the T4 is being converted not into the active form of T3, but the inactive form. And there are biological reasons why we have that mechanism in place. And then, so that's really going to be your kind of your thyroid function test. And then additionally, not in everyone, but in a lot of women, we're going to be looking for the autoimmune component. And that's going to be our antibodies, most notably your TPO or thyroid peroxidase antibody, or your and your thyroid globulin antibodies or anti-TGs is what those stand for. And that's going to give you a pretty good look at overall thyroid health in general. Now, there are some other tests there for different conditions, more specific conditions, but that's going to really be a good meat and potatoes for you.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a really good way that patients can advocate. And I'm going to be honest, if you go to your primary, which a lot of patients may, they probably won't draw it. So you're probably going to really have to scope out additional resources who are willing to check those nuances for you and help you kind of have a better understanding.
There has been some pushback, and I really try when I practice to have a very well-rounded approach. I like to hear things from all sides of the fence. So, you know, obviously we're all allopathically trained. That's where we came from. That's where we started from. I didn't start in the functional world. So we're learning, okay, so we're testing things that we can treat. And if the primary form of treatment that we're giving is T4, then there shouldn't be any reason to have to check anything outside of that. And if the primary way we know T4 is working is by checking TSH, then we shouldn't need anything else. And so most of the time we're checking TSH, and then some of the time we're checking T4 because really the labs have grouped them together. So a lot of times it's just easy to check the box. And there has been this kind of, the primary medication that we use is a T4, and we may want to get into that further later, but that's kind of where the whole notion of, well, we don't need to check anything else has kind of come from, is because we're not treating it with that. We're treating it primarily with T4. So that's what we need to check at the labs that reflect T4.
Absolutely. And, you know, Synthroid or T4 or Levo or whatever, it works for a lot of people. But then there's those nuanced patients where it doesn't and they need to dive further into their labs. So, I mean, it obviously has been working for lots of people, but it doesn't work for everybody. And I think that's really kind of important to know that with this as well, too.
Yeah,
for sure. Absolutely. So let's kind of talk a little bit about just symptoms. What are some symptoms that patients that may not even think about their thyroid be experiencing? And maybe because a lot of times, again, they're dismissed, oh, it's in your head, or oh, you're crazy. So what does a symptomatic patient usually look like that has thyroid concerns or needs to advocate to get some more testing?
Yeah. So most of the time, and let's just differentiate here. Most of the time when women are coming to me, they are typically complaining of what we would typically associate with low thyroid function symptoms. There are two different forms of thyroid disorder, most generally, and that is low thyroid functionality or hypothyroidism, or overactive thyroid functionality, and that's hyperthyroidism. And so I think hyperthyroidism is much less common than hypothyroidism. And I would actually advocate that if you do have a hyperthyroid disorder, that is one of the areas where you do actually need to be managed by an endocrinologist. And those symptoms would be almost like your car is being driven way too fast, pedal to the metal. So rapid heart rate, heat intolerance, losing weight at a rapid pace. You might have bulging eyes, sweating a lot. Increased movement through the digestive tract, loose stools, things like that. So I would say if you are feeling like you're experiencing any of those things, I would highly recommend the advice of an endocrinologist. But hypothyroidism is something that we encounter much more often. I think maybe you would agree, Heather, And if that is, I would say the car is not running fast enough. So think about every process in your body moving slower. So whether that be your metabolism, or you're gaining weight, or your hair is falling out, or it's not growing back fast enough, or your eyelashes or your eyebrows are falling out, your skin is dry, your digestive system is moving slowly, so you experience constipation, you're tired all the time for no reason, or you have that horrible afternoon slump where you just can't get up, you know, you have to fall asleep on the couch, brain fog, cold intolerance, your fingers and toes. So your circulation is moving slower. So your fingers and toes might feel cold, or you just might be in a room with a sweater when everybody else is in a t-shirt. So the unfortunate nature of low thyroid function symptoms is they oftentimes are very vague and very broad. And so they can be attributed to a multitude of other things. And it sometimes is hard to connect the dots if you don't know what you're trying to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it really kind of happens across the gamut. I'm not going to say one more time than other, but you and I kind of being in that menopausal and sexual health space, how often do those symptoms kind of overlap with it?
Well, I mean, it's just, all of it. It's all. And that's why, and that's another thing too, why I said I never intended to treat the thyroid. But when you fix and you optimize, whatever word you want to use, when you've done everything you know how to do from every other angle, and the person sitting in front of you should be feeling like a million bucks by what the textbook has told you, and they don't, you know, there's really not too many other missing components that you can look at. And eventually it led me to being forced to look at the thyroid on a deeper level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, you manage a lot of menopause and you manage a lot of weight loss as well too. How often do you kind of see that thyroid being an issue with it, would you say? Because I feel like patients don't ask enough.
Yeah. I would say a conservative estimate would be 20% of the time. I would say 20% of the time. I would say much less common that I'm actually dealing with true, what we would say, what the typical medical sphere would diagnose as true hypothyroidism. And that's another problem that I see a lot, is that we still have, there's been a lot of advocacy out there by various individuals to have these thyroid parameters adjusted. And there's unfortunately been advocacy the other way, to have the thyroid parameters broadened as well, which everybody can kind of gasp at that. But there's been a lot of advocacy out there to see if we can't kind of hone in these parameters, because you will see individuals having a lot of symptoms, even when they have thyroid levels within the traditional scope or the traditional lab parameters that we were all trained on. And then another important point to mention is that the most common form of hypothyroidism or low thyroid function is actually an autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, where you have an overactive immune response on the thyroid gland, and over time, the thyroid functionality is depleted or is degraded. And in worst case scenario, it can actually destroy the thyroid gland as a whole. And this is much more common, you can quote it as much as 2 to 8 times more common in women to have this Hashimoto's thyroid autoimmune disorder. And we see autoimmune being more common in women anywhere, regardless of what autoimmune condition it is. But in the US, that's the most common form of thyroid dysfunction. And the problem is that you can have the autoimmune component there causing symptoms, but the thyroid function test can be perfectly normal because the immune reaction hasn't destroyed or diminished enough of the thyroid functionality for it to show up as an abnormality on the thyroid function test. But these patients can be suffering. And a lot of times we're not checking antibodies as routine thyroid testing. And then even when we do test the antibodies, a lot of these women say, oh, well, you do have antibodies, but your thyroid function is still normal. So, you know, everything's okay. Go your merry way. And it's really unfortunate, because there's a lot of things that we can do from that standpoint that we're not necessarily addressing on a wider scale.
I think for a lot of our listeners here who are patients, there's a lot of confusion, I guess, sometimes around how the thyroid fits in place with everything else that our bodies do. I like to think of it as a triad. So there's the thyroid hormones, there's the adrenals, and there's the female sex hormones or the steroid hormone cascade. And so it's kind of like a triangle that all works together. If one corner of the triangle is off or skewed, it really messes with the rest of your hormones in your body. Typically for patients, we like to look at the thyroid first, because that's something that we can fix, we can correct, we can replenish, replace those hormones pretty easily. But that tends to throw off your metabolism, which throws off your female sex hormones. Jackie, will you go into a little bit more of how all that works together in the body and how important it is to make sure the thyroid is, you know, very corrected?
Sure. You know, I think there's still a lot that we are kind of uncovering on all the different variations of thyroid function in the body and starting to really pull the veil away from that as we start to learn more and more from our patients on how they feel on medication, off medication, with particular types of medications. You know, I think a lot of people play favorites in the thyroid space or say, oh, you have to be on this hormone or that hormone, or, oh, you know, Levo or Synthroid don't work for a certain person. And I think, you know, when I first started diving into the thyroid space, I did kind of play favorites with certain modalities or certain medications, but I found that there is so much bio-individuality there. But I will say, you know, Tara, to your end, yes. I mean, it's very much is a triad. You know, the adrenal glands, most of the time we associate that with our stress response. So it's there to produce our stress hormones, that fight or flight reaction. Our thyroid is there to make sure that our body is prepared for that and to move the metabolic processes, increase our heart rate, decrease it when we don't need it, those sorts of things. And then our reproductive hormones are there for that. They are there for that reproductive potential, but they're also there to help guide and influence a lot of the different processes in our body. And I think that's kind of outside the scope of our intention here today. But I think that I always say that our bodies don't live in isolation. Everybody's at the party, and it can be a really great party where everybody's having a really good time, or it can be a total nightmare of dysfunction and everybody at the party is throwing things and fighting and there's a big mess. And I think that's a really simplistic analogy, but to what, you know, what Heather said earlier with, you know, sexual function and the broad kind of vagueness of thyroid symptoms as a whole, all of these things play a role. And that's why, coming back, why I've gone myself into the thyroid space, so to speak, is because you can kind of help people address their adrenal gland, help them manage their stress response. Because I always say, if your body feels like it's chasing a tiger, it being chased by a tiger, it's not going to stop to have sex. And so if our body is in a stressed state, then that plays into that biopsychosocial model of sexual health. We have to fix that stress response, so we can do that through the adrenals. Then from the sexual function standpoint, if our body has no sexual hormones to help drive that engine, put gas in the tank, then we're not going to want to have sex. It's going to really play into that biologic aspect. And at the same time with thyroid, we're exhausted all the time. If our body's telling us to slow down, to stop moving, be more in that sloth type of mentality, which is what a lot of these patients feel like when their hypothyroid, they're not going to have any drive, any desire, and it's really going to impair their sexual function from that angle. So I very much agree, Tara. It's a triad. We've got to make sure everybody is at their best, putting their best foot forward. And it's really just that nuance of listening to what is going on in each individual's circumstance and what has been addressed, what has been looked at, maybe what hasn't been looked at fully, and go from there. Because a lot of people do feel like, oh, it's your thyroid. Oh, I'm on this med and you should be fine. And we're starting to understand that maybe that's not the case too. So that's a really important point too, is that if you feel like you've been on XYZ thyroid, treatment for so long, you may not be where you need to be. Or if you've had your thyroid looked at before and you were told everything is normal, but you're still having symptoms that we would associate with it, it may be time for a deeper dive.
I agree. I'm so glad you tapped in sexual dysfunction and things around that nature, because obviously our podcast was really created to help people in the sexual health space, because they never want to talk about those questions. Kind of why I created my niche practice of sexual medicine and how to dive into thyroid and hormones and weight loss, because it's a way to get people to bridge in to talk about it. Have you found any good data that has existed around this sexual dysfunction piece in thyroid? Because it actually is one of the things I often will check. And I've actually seen some orgasms concerns that do tend to kind of flow along with the idea of the thyroid being off kilter.
Yeah, you know, I would actually, and I don't have a specific data point to reference, but I see a lot of my patients who struggle with a phenomena called Raynaud's, which is where they have ice cold fingers and toes, and they have a really bad circulatory issue. And a lot of the way that I treat sexual dysfunction, especially orgasmic disorders, is with, we use vasodilators or medications that help draw more blood flow to a certain space. That's the whole kind of principle behind medications that we use for erectile dysfunction, and now we can kind of apply them to women's health as well. But it's drawing that blood flow, that circulation. And so if you think about it logically, if somebody is having poor circulation in their extremities, their fingers and their toes are freezing cold, you can actually touch some thyroid patients and they will be freezing cold in a warm room. That's indicative of a circulatory issue. And I can bet you anything, if they have a circulatory issue in their fingers and their toes, they surely have it in their other appendages, whether that be their male genitalia or their female genitalia. So I don't have any, you know, randomized controlled clinical trial to put on here for you guys. But I think we can think logically about it. And if somebody is having an anorgasmia and they're also having really terrible circulatory issues from a thyroid component, getting their thyroid to a better space, I would think only stands to improve their functionality there. We do know that upwards of 46% of women do struggle who have a thyroid disorder will also struggle with their sexual dysfunction. And a lot of men with erectile dysfunction will also be found to have a low thyroid component. And in some cases, even a high thyroid component, just an abnormality in their thyroid. So I don't want to leave the men out of this completely. But there is some data that does pull together the association of a thyroid dysfunction and sexual function.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you've hit so many amazing things. I think we could spend an entire multiple podcasts and dive down each of these roads quite a bit. But I think this gave like just such a good sampling on kind of where a lot of our women find that they're struggling and where the thyroid kind of falls in these pieces for sure.
Sure. Awesome.
I think my pharmacist brain the whole time is just thinking medication, you know, that's just kind of where I go to. Of course, you know, it's a biopsychosocial model. You have to hit every piece. Pharmacology is just one piece of the puzzle of everything else that may be going on in that particular patient or individual. So, but of course, you know, my job as a pharmacist is to always think, is there some pharmacological intervention or some nutraceutical intervention that could happen here? So I just wanted to see if you would touch a little bit on the different medications, and I'm happy to jump in if you need me to, but when it comes to the different medications for thyroid. So for instance, porcine or desiccated thyroid versus when you would put somebody on like a synthetic T3 or T4. When would you give someone T4 only or T3 only, or perhaps a combination of the two? Do you have a specific, Are there protocols for that, or is it just patient by patient case, depending on their labs?
Yeah. No, thanks for that question, Tara. I think this is such an important component, and I'll address. Let's talk through just non-pharmaceutical options first. And there are a lot of things that we can do as individuals to support our thyroid health. And that really just kind of anything that you can do to support the rest of your body's health. So all the basic stuff, lifestyle, nutrition, trying to, remove certain kind of inflammatory foods from our diet. Sometimes that can be helpful if we feel, especially if we have that autoimmune component. If a woman is diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroid or the autoimmune type of low thyroid disorder, there's usually several different categories of food that I will try to start one by one eliminating. I don't love to just take everything away from people because I think as especially women, we feel like so much we have to remove so much. We don't come from this abundance mindset, but I do try to remove dairy first, then gluten, and explore what that does to the inflammatory response. And then some women will struggle with legumes, grains, eggs, and nuts as well. And so, but this is all done individually and it's stepwise. I never like to take things away from people as a whole because I just feel like that kind of brings more doom and gloom to things than progress. Then from the point of supplements or nutraceuticals that can help support the thyroid, the two most beneficial supplements for thyroid health that I have found are going to be zinc and selenium. And a lot of times you can get adequate amounts of selenium just from eating a couple Brazil nuts a day. So you don't even have to go on a supplement, but zinc and selenium are going to be your most common. And then in addition to that, I'll sometimes recommend a really amazing anti-inflammatory supplement called glutathione. And I don't know if you guys have ever talked about that or Tara, if you want to add your two cents, but glutathione is a anti-inflammatory kind of neutralizing agent that we can use. This can be really, really beneficial for thyroid health. So that's kind of a basic kind of with, and then I don't know if you wanted to comment on that, and then we can kind of move on to the actual like traditional pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, for thyroid, I think when you go back to really how the mechanism works of adding the iodide ions to the thyroid, to the thyroglobulin molecules and everything, there are cofactors involved in those processes that transport it in and out of the cell. And sometimes people who are deficient in simple minerals like zinc or magnesium, or which by the way, 75% of the population is deficient in magnesium. So that's highly likely that that could be a case, but there are cofactors that help those processes move. And so just getting a really good, like, and I feel like we beat this into the ground, but a daily multivitamin that just has a really good array of all the nutrients that you think you might get from the American diet, but you'd be really surprised that you don't. Just making sure that you're keeping your thyroid, if you don't have a thyroid issue, that you're just keeping it healthy in anticipation of anything potentially happening.
Right.
So I'm always a huge proponent of just a really good like multivitamin. Take all of them that it tells you. If it tells you to take four, take four. Because really a lot of those tiny ingredients that you see that huge list on the back of the bottle, a lot of those tiny ingredients make a huge difference. Vitamin D, like little things like that in women and men too.
And I totally agree. Vitamin D is huge. We've got to have the vitamin D there. And a lot of times I see so many women with low vitamin D. I mean, it's just rampant. And then iron, ferritin levels are really important to check. So typically when I'm addressing thyroid health, it's going to be the zinc, the selenium, the vitamin D, the iron, and sometimes some B vitamins as well. As far as, you know, pharmaceuticals are concerned, pretty much the main staple of the medical field is levothyroxine or the inactive thyroid hormone T4. And that kind of, there's a really great book out there if anybody's really interested in how we became indoctrinated with T4 being the only therapy out there. It's called Rethinking Hypothyroidism. And I have no, no plug there other than to say it really opened up a lot of, it opened up my eyes on why this kind of onslaught of it has to be levothyroxine or it has to be Synthroid for the treatment. And for a lot of people, levothyroxine will be fine because the thought process behind giving thyroid replacement hormone is that your thyroid is not producing enough of its own hormone. So we are going to add back the inactive thyroid hormone T4, and then your body should be able to convert as much as it needs into T3. So think of T4, a lot of people that use this analogy out there as T4 being your savings account or what's in your bank account, and T3 being the cash in the wallet, what you have, or in your checking account, what you have actively able to spend. And your body should be able to take as much cash out of the bank as it needs, as long as we are building up enough of a savings account. And so that is why the vast majority, a good number of people will do fine on T4 therapy, coming most likely from levothyroxine or Synthroid or Tyrosin, which are the most common therapies out there. But what we are starting to find, and the more pushback we get from our patients, is that we have a relatively, what we think is small percentage, but I think it's a lot bigger than we think it is, population of individuals who are saying, this does not work for me. This does not help my symptoms. I'm not better. I'm not feeling better. And what we see is that there are individuals who have probably genetic SNPs, which are little deletions in our DNA. And this goes back, there's an enzyme called deiodinase, and not to get too into the science of that, but that is the enzyme that is needed in order to convert T4 into T3 at the cellular level. And there is a portion of us out there that are missing that ability and are unable to properly convert T4 into T3. And T3 is the hormone that drives symptom improvement or lack thereof. And so what we find is that a lot of women and some men will do better if we give them, if we sort of totally circumvent that process of converting T4 into T3 and just give them T3. And we can give them T3 in a couple of different ways. We can give it in a form of thyroid hormone called natural desiccated thyroid. Most people know this by the brands of Armour Thyroid or NP Thyroid. I think those are the only ones on the market right now. And that comes from really just dried up, usually pig thyroid gland. And it contains a ratio of about 80%, this is a very rough ratio, but 80% T4, 20% T3. Or you can utilize T3 on its own in the form of liothyronine or Cytomel. And then, but that could be kind of a harsh medication. T3 actually has quite a much stronger suppressive effect on the TSH and can make people go into a hyperthyroid kind of esque state where you're having heart racing and loose stool. It can be quite rough. So some people also opt to compound the T3 into a sustained release formulation. So it's a gentler side effect profile. So those are kind of, and it's all varies. You may say, well, how do I know which one to do? How do I know if I need this or if I need that? And it really comes down to the art of thyroid. Are you having, is your TSH high, but is your T3 okay? Do you not have a large autoimmune component going on? You probably can get away with just T4 therapy. But if you come back and you're not having symptom resolution, you're not feeling better, or if you check your T3 and it's still really low, then we have to start thinking outside of the box. Do you need T3 therapy? Are you somebody that's going to benefit from this? And it's really just kind of being able to go out on a limb for the patient and say, why don't we try this and monitor labs and see what your response is? And also kind of sharing that decision with the patient and listening to the individual and seeing what works. So hopefully that wasn't too much of a tangent and a rambling on.
No, absolutely not. That definitely helps clear up the different forms that are out there. There's a lot of different options. So make sure to ask about them and what one is the most appropriate for you, depending on how you feel, what your labs say, what they're coming back as, what's working, what's not, how you're feeling. Is it making you feel sick if you're taking the porcine one? Or there's also bovine, which is made from a cow, but there's different types out there. So just knowing what you're on and just being a little more educated on the different types is almost getting your foot in the door of knowing how to advocate for your health, for your own thyroid. So
absolutely. Oh, so helpful. So helpful for our patients. Like I said, we could do multiple podcasts on this. So how do our listeners find you, Jackie?
Sure. So I have an Instagram page. It's at @JackiePGYNNP. That's where I do the vast majority of my kind of educational content. And then I run a small telehealth practice called Monarch Health. So either of those places.
Wonderful. Oh my gosh. So wonderful. We'll definitely want to bring you back on and talk more, all the more things. And
yeah, there's a lot more. Thyroid is so complex and also nuanced. And there's so many, you know, what about this or what about that situation? Or I did this and did that. Or, I mean, and we just scratched the surface of the whole autoimmune component too. So there is so much more to it, but yes, Heather, we could go all day.
And we'll make sure that for our listeners, we'll make sure that we post your information too, so they can follow you, because you give out good tidbits on your social platforms, as well as the book you mentioned. So we'll talk about some of those things in our comment section, so people can follow you as well.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah, so always great to have resources. And I always advocate for patients to bring resources with them, because you know, a lot of times it's not that their clinicians aren't willing to help them. It's just that they're unfamiliar and we're so rushed in our day. So it's nice to have resources and kind of have those tools to advocate for yourself, because I think it really sets you up for success in a clinical encounter, rather than just feeling like you've kind of got the door shut on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. We're so grateful to you.
Oh, sure. No, thanks. I'm honored to have been invited to jumpstart y'all getting back into your next season. And thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Make sure to follow us on Instagram @JustAskATL. Feel free to ask us questions. We don't typically give medical advice over social media platforms, but there are ways to get in touch with us personally. If you're looking for a healthcare provider, we can point you in the right direction depending on where you are. So thank you all again for being here at the kickoff of season 3. And thank you again, Jackie, for all of your insight and knowledge. I know that there are patients everywhere just, you know, ready to start advocating for their thyroid and not taking no for an answer, or being a little bit more knowledgeable when they walk in. To know what to talk about. So again, thank you all for being here on the Just Ask podcast, and we hope you be well.
Thanks for listening to the Just Ask podcast. And thank you for our amazing panelists today and every day. Feel free to contact us publicly or privately with your questions and thoughts. We do not provide medical advice, but we can point you in the right direction and provide resources. You can learn more about the topics we've discussed in this episode by viewing the show notes for this podcast and following us at Just Ask ATL on Facebook and Instagram. Our podcast is available on all of your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. Please make sure you subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. If you found value in this discussion, please share this podcast with friends or leave a rating on iTunes. Thanks again for listening. We can't wait for you to join us for the next show.